Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Normal broadcasting has been discontinued.
Coming to you from Portland, Oregon.
The sports business capital of North America.
Keep your radio tuned to this frequency.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. Now, your host.
I tell you, I've never seen anything like that guy.
Brian Berger.
Well, thanks for checking out the only show in the country dedicated to covering the business side of sports. Glad you could join us this week. In segment four, we're going to be joined by Adam Rose. He's with the LA Times. He blogs about USC. We're going to discuss the resignation of Tim Floyd, the head basketball coach at USC, who abruptly resigned this week amid allegations of payments to former USC basketball star O.J. Mayo. That's coming up in segment four. Also in segment four, Maury Brown from thebizofbaseball.com. We're going to talk about this week's Major League Baseball draft, specifically Steven Strasburg, the number one pick from San Diego State, the pitcher who is going to command a lot of money from the Washington Nationals or someone else, and Scott Boras represents him. We'll break that down in segment four. A couple of other notes. Visit my sports business blog or download the SBR podcast on demand. Just go to sportsbusinessradio.com. You can become our Facebook friend. Follow me via Twitter. Just visit our blog at sportsbusinessradio.com, and the link to the Sports Business Radio Facebook and Twitter pages are there. I'm joined in studio by Nathan Roach and Bobby Courser. Nathan is joining us in the midst of his wedding and high school reunion and college reunion and graduation tour 2009. Thanks for making the cameo.
Oh, well, I'm sorry I haven't been able to join you for more weekends. It's a busy summer, and when you're married and you got all these obligations, that's what you do.
Something I don't have to worry about anymore.
Oh, boy.
All right, so lots going on in the sports world this week. Nathan, we talked a little last week. The NHL and the NBA, they went head-to-head with their finals on Tuesday night. So the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals went head-to-head. We're going to tell everyone who came out on top in the TV ratings. There's a record-setting transfer fee for a football player, and I know that there are some people that are going to laugh at Brian Berger and Nathan Roach talking about European soccer this week, but we're going to make the effort. And then in segment number three, I got to talk about Manny being moron. Not Manny being Manny, but Manny being moron with one of the worst, most pathetic apologies I have ever heard out of an athlete's mouth. That's coming up in segment three, but coming up next, headlines. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. I'll be right back. This is Brian Berger from Sports Business Radio. I know many of our listeners dream of a job in the sports industry but don't know where to begin. To me, it's an easy call. Go where sports business education got its start, at the Warsaw Sports Marketing Center at the University of Oregon. As the first business school in the country to offer undergraduate and graduate programs themed around this multi-billion dollar industry, the Warsaw Center offers a unique blend and strong general business training, sports business curriculum taught by industry experts, and rich out-of-classroom experiences, including real-world consulting projects, study tours, and internships. With a strong industry and alumni network and a staff dedicated to accelerating your career, the Warsaw Center has a proven track record of placing students in teams, league offices, corporate sponsors, marketing agencies, sports media, and sports shoe and apparel firms. But like any elite team, there's only a few spots on the roster. To learn more, visit sportsbusinessradio.com for a link to the center's website. The Warsaw Sports Marketing Center, passion, integrity, and leadership in sports business education.
back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
It's time for this week's Sports Business Radio headline, sponsored by the Warsaw Sports Marketing Center at the University of Oregon. Visit warsawcenter.com for more information. Headline number one, the NHL and the NBA. NHL has the Stanley Cup Finals. The NBA has their finals. Well, they went head-to-head on Tuesday night. ABC had the NBA Finals between the Magic and the Lakers. NBC had the NHL Stanley Cup Finals between the Red Wings and the Penguins. And a lot of people wondered, Nathan, why in the world would the NBA and the NHL, why would they put their finals, their big events, head-to-head with each other? Well, at the end of the day, the NBA got about five times the ratings in the United States of the NHL. And, you know, I don't think it makes any sense. The NHL, which had the choice to have their game six on Monday night, chose to have it on Tuesday night and go head-to-head with the NBA. In this country, the NBA is second only to the NFL in TV ratings, and I just didn't think it was a wise decision by the NHL.
Well, yeah, and there's not a lot of sporting events on right now to watch, so you'd think that naturally they'd want to go on their own and go solo. And we've been talking the last couple weeks about how NHL has been getting good ratings, so this is no surprise to me. I mean, anytime the NHL goes up against any other major sport, they're going to get smoked. It didn't make any sense why they wouldn't put it off.
Now, the good news for the NHL is that they've got a seven-game series. Anytime a series goes to seven games, that's great for your ad inventory. It's a compelling series. NBC had game seven, and it's great when it goes seven games. Now, the NBA Finals, through three games, they're slightly up compared to last year. Last year, you had the iconic matchup Lakers-Celtics, storied franchises, Kobe versus KG. This year, it's Kobe versus Dwight Howard, and to date, the numbers have been slightly up from last year.
Well, that doesn't surprise me much. I think that a lot of people have kind of jumped on the Dwight Howard bandwagon in the last two seasons and really gotten familiar with Dwight Howard. And, you know, Kobe Bryant, everybody wants to see if Kobe's going to win another title. I think the ratings would have been huge, obviously, had the Cavs and the Lakers played. I think we would have seen some of the highest ratings of all time.
Our next headline, Roger Federer wins the French Open for the first time. He ties Pete Sampras' record for Grand Slam wins with 14. Nike, NetJets, and Gillette all activated around Federer's big win, either with broadcast spots or print ads. And, you know, I thought NBC did a really nice job with their coverage of the event. And, you know, as we talked on our local show in Portland last week, the scary part for me was when that fan came onto the court and got right next to Federer. And what already happened to Monica Seles before with her stabbing, it was astounding to me that someone could get that close to a player for a second time.
Well, I've been at both Wimbledon and the French Open, and security is pretty tight. And if you watch the video over, that guy got out of the stands in a hurry. I mean, no disrespect to the security there, because usually they do a pretty good job, especially after the Monica Seles incident. But that guy got out of the stands pretty quick. He probably should have been on the court playing. You know, Federer was a good sport afterwards, but it was a little bit of a scary moment there.
Now, Federer could win 15, Grand Slam number 15 at Wimbledon. So I would think Wimbledon ratings will be very good. We'll see if Rafa Nadal can get back on the court. He's had some knee problems. But, boy, I would love to see Nadal-Federer with Federer going for Grand Slam number 15 to break Sampras' all-time record.
Well, yeah, and how about Nike? I mean, if you're Nike, you got to be thrilled right now. Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal are the only two players that anybody outside the tennis world is familiar with at this point. And it is becoming one of the greatest rivalries. You talk about NBC's coverage. I mean, Federer won very quickly, so they played a recap of last year's Wimbledon final after the Federer match. And it's such an amazing final. You can watch it over and over again.
So the thing that was interesting with Federer is he played Soderling in the finals, who is really a nobody. No one in the United States knows who he is. The final got a 1.8 rating. So, you know, when we're talking about the NBA Finals getting a 10 or an 11, a 1.8 shows you how little interest there is in tennis in the United States, even if Roger Federer is in the finals. And that rating, 1.8, was pretty much flat with last year's rating, which was the final between Nadal and Federer. So didn't make a huge difference in the ratings that Nadal wasn't there. I guess people were a little bit more compelled to tune in because Federer was going for number 14.
Well, I think the hardest thing is the time. I mean, if you're not a diehard tennis fan, you're not getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, especially when it's Federer versus a nobody. I mean, you automatically assume that he's going to win that match. And so I'm not surprised that ratings are usually typically down for Wimbledon and Roland Garros every single year.
All right. Sit back on this one. It might be scary, but we're going to talk European soccer here for a minute. Real Madrid, they've confirmed the signing of Brazilian international Kaká on a record-setting six-year contract. Reports say that the transfer fee is an all-time record. It's 68 million euros. That's $94 million, and it smashes the previous record set by Real Madrid in 2001 when they bought Zinedine Zidane from Juventus. So, big soccer news, and Real Madrid, they might be signing Ronaldo too. So they're putting together kind of the New York Yankees of soccer going on over there. They're paying a lot of money out.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is on the show we talk all the time about your big baseball deals, your big football deals over in Europe. It's the big soccer deals, and we see these kinds of deals in Europe. There's a lot of international superstars, and certainly if you want to make any money and you're a good soccer player, you don't usually stick around the U.S. You head overseas.
So that last headline was for our friend John Nardini at Moose Tracks. He's my consultant on European soccer. John, hope you thought that was a good headline. Hope I did all right. All right. Sales of the A-Rod book. That's our next headline. You know, this book had so much hype around it, and was the reason for Alex Rodriguez having to have his press conference. And, you know, we've talked about it a lot, as have many other radio shows and publications out there. And HarperCollins in May published 150,000 prints of the A-Rod book, The Many Lives of Alex Rodriguez. It was authored by Selena Roberts. Well, guess what? 11,000 books sold in the first week. 16,000 copies out of 150,000 copies have sold. If that doesn't tell us how little interest fans have in players using performance-enhancing drugs, I don't know what does.
Wait, this is going to be one of those books that winds up in one of those bins at Barnes & Noble for like 75% off that nobody's purchasing. I mean, the only book that anybody's really ever cared about with regard to this is Jose Canseco's book, because as it turns out, everything in that book is factual. You know that there's probably a lot of wishy-washy stuff in this book, and I don't think people really care.
Well, I mean, look, Game of Shadows was a good book. I'm not saying this isn't a good book. What I'm saying is, you know, Selena Roberts, great journalist, but the fans don't care. If Alex Rodriguez is winning games for the Yankees and the Yankees have a good record and he can lead them to a championship, they don't care about the smut in the book. They don't care if he's using Flintstone vitamins or performance-enhancing drugs, as long as the Yankees are winning. And my point here is 150,000 copies of this book printed, 16,000 have sold. Nobody cares.
Well, do you think that's all Yankee fans buying the book? I mean, who would you guess is the majority of the people buying that book right now?
Red Sox fans.
Well, I mean, and we talked earlier this week, Brian, about the fact that now all these players are scared, rightfully so they've stopped using these. I mean, we look at Big Pappy, and he's not doing the stuff he used to do. How do you feel if you're a Boston fan?
Well,
right
look,
now?
We don't know that Big Poppy, David Ortiz, has used anything, but
that's pure speculation.
His numbers have been down this year, and recently they've come back up. So, you know, we were joking around off the air. Look, if he was using anything, Red Sox fans probably want him to get back on whatever he was using, whether it was Flintstones vitamins or, you know, he was eating his veggies like Popeye. I don't know what he was doing, but whatever he was doing, they want him to get back to doing it because he's been playing not very well this year.
Well, I think this is going to be a hard adjustment for fans. We've talked about this in the past, is that you're not going to see the long ball like you used to. I mean, it's not going to be the same game that it was for the last 10 years. And let's face it, fans like seeing home runs. Fans like seeing power, and they're not going to see much of it anymore.
All right, coming up next, I heard one of the worst apologies I've ever heard out of an athlete's mouth this week. Who is it from? We'll let you know next. Coming up, Caught in the Crosslights here on Sports Business Radio. Hi, this is Brian Berger, host of Sports Business Radio. I've got a confession to make. I'm a sucker for good ice cream. There's nothing better than watching a sporting event while enjoying an ice cream cone, or better yet, fixing an ice cream sundae with my daughter. Lucky for me, I found an indulgent ice cream at an affordable price. Moose Tracks ice cream comes in a variety of flavors, including chocolate Moose Tracks, extreme Moose Tracks, mint Moose Tracks, and of course, original Moose Tracks, just to name a few. What's my favorite Moose Tracks ice cream flavor? It's chocolate Moose Tracks, which is chocolate ice cream with peanut butter cups and famous Moose Tracks fudge. For a chocoholic and peanut butter lover like me, it's heaven. What's your favorite Moose Tracks flavor? To find the Moose Tracks branded store nearest you, check out the store locator at moosetracks.com. That's MOOSETRACKS.com. Or find the Moose Tracks banner on our website at sportsbusinessradio.com. Moose Tracks Ice Cream, the official ice cream of Sports Business Radio.
For an in-depth analysis of the week's PR nightmare, Sports Business Radio presents Caught in the Crosslights.
Well, as many of you know, when I'm not hosting this show, I am a PR professional, as is Nathan Roach. He also works in the world of PR. So, Caught in the Crosslights, you know, we like to look at the PR nightmare of the week. I've heard several athletes issue apologies before, and some do a very good job, and some not so good. Nathan, I don't know if I've ever heard an athlete botch an apology like Manny Ramirez of the Los Angeles Dodgers did this week. First of all, he wasn't really supposed to be speaking to the media to begin with. The terms of his suspension restrict him from addressing reporters. That was according to ESPN, the magazine's Buster Olney. But Manny decided, I want to speak anyways. And let me read the quotes from Manny. He starts off by saying, I don't want to be a distraction for this team. What happened, happened. I spoke to owner Frank McCourt. I apologize. I spoke to Joe Torre, my teammates, and I'm ready to move on. Okay, not so bad. Doesn't sound very apologetic, but here's the part where he really did himself in. I didn't kill nobody. I didn't rape nobody. So that's it. I'm just going to come and play the game. What? As I said on my Twitter account this week, I tweeted, you know, people say that's Manny being Manny. That's Manny being moron. Who in their right mind says, I didn't kill nobody. I didn't rape nobody. So that's it. I'm just going to come and play the game. Manny Ramirez, this is why you don't do interviews. This is why the teams that you've played for, they're not that upset if you're not talking to the media. Because you just took what was already a flammable situation and you made it a lot worse. He poured gasoline on the fire this week, Nathan.
Well, here's the irony of the whole thing. Is that you talked about previous apologies we've heard. And to this day, I would say that Michael Vick's apology was one of the best apologies I've ever heard from an athlete. And I find that very ironic because, you know, it wasn't scripted, and neither was Manny's, clearly.
Obviously.
But he spoke from the heart. It was a genuine apology. That's not an apology. That's him still trying to defend himself. I didn't kill nobody. I didn't rape nobody. I mean, that's ridiculous. How could you compare steroid use to killing or raping anybody?
Well, not only is he not apologetic, but, I mean, his choice of words are, it's mind-boggling that anybody, frankly, could be this stupid. It's appalling to me. And, you know, Joe Torre was clearly caught off guard. Dodgers management was clearly caught off guard that Manny Ramirez, let's not forget, Manny Ramirez, the player that before the season started, the Dodgers invested $50 million in. Oh, and by the way, Manny has the option on his contract at the end of this year. There's no way in the world Manny's walking away from $25 million guaranteed, because no one in Major League Baseball is going to give him anywhere near that. So the Dodgers are stuck with this guy this year and next year to the tune of $50 million. Yes, a little bit of that gets shaved off because he's suspended for performance-enhancing drug use, but it just boggles my mind that an athlete, and here's a guy represented by Scott Boras, okay? Scott Boras represents A-Rod. He's representing Steven Strasburg, the number one pick by the Nationals this week. Is there any, you know, in the business they call it client control. Client control.
is there any client control here with Manny, or is Manny just such a wild card that he says things like, I didn't kill nobody, I didn't rape nobody, so that's it. I'm just going to come and play the game.
That's not an apology. And if you're a company, now let's talk about this from a sports business standpoint.
You don't touch this guy with a 10-foot pole.
Honestly.
Not that people were doing it before. I mean, the only marketing around Manny is what the Dodgers have done with Manny Wood and the dreadlock wigs and the T-shirts and the jersey sales. And, yes, that was successful for the Dodgers. But I guarantee you, even some of the fan base that was going to stick with Manny through his performance-enhancing drug use, when they hear this quote this week, they're saying, you know what? I was supportive of Manny, but not after that statement.
All right, I don't want to stick up for Manny in any way, shape, or form. The one thing I will say is at least he's not denying it. At least, I mean, I know he got caught red-handed, but at least, to me, at least...
Well, but he's not taking responsibility either.
Well, that's true, I guess. I mean, but we've seen so often lately
players... I mean, A-Rod took more responsibility.
Oh, no way.
I knew we weren't messing around with whatever.
Stone vitamins.
Yeah, I mean... It's just, I can't believe in this day and age that a guy like Manny Ramirez, who's making $50 million, is the face of a franchise, that there's not a PR person around, that there's not someone around, his agent, anyone, that he can just sit in front of a bunch of reporters and wax poetic. And waxing poetic includes talking about, I didn't kill anyone and I didn't rape anyone. I mean, it's horrendous.
Well, let me ask you this. Would it be better if he had scripted something and had a press conference and sat there and read it word for word?
No. What would have been better is if he said this and stopped. Again, the beginning of his statement. I don't want to be a distraction for this team. What happened, happened. I spoke to Frank McCourt. I apologize. I spoke to Joe, my teammates, and I'm ready to move on. If he left it at that, fine. When he adds, I didn't kill nobody, I didn't rape nobody, so that's it. I'm just going to come and play the game. That's where the Titanic starts going down quickly. And I had someone say to me this week, well, it really wasn't that bad, except for that one sentence. Well, that's like saying when Tim Hardaway was on with Dan Le Batard a few years ago, and he did a pretty good interview, but then at the end, he talks about he doesn't like gay people. That's like saying, well, he did a pretty good job, except for that last sentence. Well, the last sentence was the most flammable.
Well, that's all people
remember. Just like in this case. Yes, that's all people remember. And in this case, this is all people are going to remember. They're not going to go, well, boy, that Manny, he really owned up to his mistake. They're going to go, what a schmuck. He said he didn't kill anybody and he didn't rape anybody. And he compared performance-enhancing drug use to those things. And, well, what he did wasn't so bad. He's taken no responsibility and his apology was pathetic. And it was one of the worst apologies I ever heard from an athlete.
Well, Brian does media training, and I don't know if this is a reach out to Manny to possibly give Brian a call to do a little media training.
See, that's the thing is, I don't think Manny Ramirez, unless Scott Boras or Frank McCourt made it mandatory that he was going to get media training, I don't think he'd do it.
I don't think he cares. That's the problem.
He doesn't care. He hasn't cared his whole career. He didn't care about the teammates that he angered in Boston because he quit on them. He doesn't care what anyone thinks, and he'll come out and he'll probably hit. Fans will like him if he leads the Dodgers to a championship. And no one will remember the statement from this week, but I will because it was one of the worst apologies I've ever heard. From bad news to good news.
Success.
I have great news for you.
How sweet it is.
Right on, sweet sister.
Time to highlight a winning move from the world of sports business.
Oh, man, that's sweet.
Sports Business Radio presents Sweet Success.
That'd be sweet.
Brought to you by Moose Trax Ice Cream. To find Moose Trax at a store near you, check out the store locator at moosetrax.com.
Well, Nike's loss was Adidas's gain. LeBron James and the Cavaliers didn't make the finals, which was bad news for Nike, but for Adidas, it was good news because their star Dwight Howard and the Orlando Magic are in, and Adidas has created a shoe for Howard specifically for the NBA Finals. It's a lighter size 18 pair of shoes, and Nathan, the shoe is called the TS Commander LT. It's 6 ounces lighter than his other shoe, and it's got a different colorway, and I think this is, you know, a good showcase for Dwight Howard and all of his sponsors. But, you know, when you see players on the big stage, whether it's the NBA All-Star Game or the Finals, it's always good when they're shoe companies get behind them and create something special.
Well, yeah, especially when you have a signature shoe like that. And to your point earlier, I mean, not having LeBron in the finals against Kobe was a huge blow for Nike, especially they've been running the ads and all the hype around Nike shoes and Kobe shoes and LeBron shoes. So good news for Dwight Howard, bad news for Nike.
They'll be $100. They'll hit retail on October 1st. Coming up next, we've got Adam Rose. He's a blogger for the LA Times, covers USC. We'll talk about Tim Floyd. And we'll talk with Maury Brown from thebizofbaseball.com about the Major League Baseball draft this week. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Brian Berger, host of Sports Business Radio. When I'm looking for a place to have dinner with family, friends, or business associates, there's only one restaurant on my list. Morton's The Steakhouse, the best steak anywhere. In its 28th year in business, Morton's serves only the finest quality foods, featuring USDA prime aged beef, fresh seafood, hand-picked produce, and decadent desserts prepared to perfection. Not to mention the award-winning wine list. When my destination is Morton's, the best is always on the menu. And they treat me like a VIP during every visit, whether in the dining room or the private boardrooms. With almost 75 restaurants conveniently located around the world, Morton's is the gold standard when it comes to steakhouses. To find the Morton's nearest you or to make a reservation, go online to Morton's.com. Morton's, the best steak anywhere, and the official steakhouse of Sports Business Radio.
This is Sports Business Radio.
My guest is Adam Rose. He is a USC blogger for the LA Times, all things Trojan. You can read him online at latimes.com. Adam, thanks for joining us on Sports Business Radio.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So, Adam, busy week for you, big doings in Los Angeles. Tim Floyd, the head basketball coach of USC, resigns this week amidst allegations that he made payments to associates of former Trojan O.J. Mayo, who now plays for the Memphis Grizzlies of the NBA. In a nutshell, give us the lowdown on what happened this week.
Well, basically, Tim Floyd caught a lot of people by surprise. You know, he's been with this program now for 4 years, and he's arguably the most successful coach that USC has ever had on the court. Off the court, he's taken a lot of gambles to try and take the program and bring it to national prominence. The problem is they were gambles, and now he's got to pay up on some of that. So, well, you know, obviously the biggest allegation is involving O.J. Mayo and his handler, Rodney Guillory, and possible impropriety in both the recruitment and the tenure that he had at USC. And he was just a one-and-done basketball star who only took them to the NCAA tournament, and they were bounced in the first round. So basically what happened is Floyd, after a lot of accusations, a very significant NCAA investigation, which is still ongoing, had another allegation. This is the one that I believe the least, but it's the one that's chronologically most recent. He was accused by a former associate of O.J. Mayo of actually handing straight cash to O.J. Mayo's handler. About a month after that, Floyd's now resigned. And so the letter came at a time when most people expected the school and Tim Floyd to possibly looking to be parting ways. But no one really expected it yesterday. It really came out of left field, or in this case, out of Mississippi, where he was visiting relatives, didn't tell his players, didn't really notify the school that this was coming. And so people are just sort of taken aback by the timing of this whole thing. But when we look back on this in a few months, everyone will go, gee, that was inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Tim Floyd's past, last year he turns down the LSU head coaching job. Just a few months ago, he turns down the Arizona job. So if you were doing something improper and you thought it might catch up with you, you would think that he would have bolted for one of those two jobs, right?
Yeah, I think that's a fair conclusion. You know, obviously, if you're looking to escape a past or to escape something, you know, why not cut your ties with that institution, go to another one, have a new contract that they've got to pay up on? He had some pretty choice opportunities there and declined them. And he had said for quite a while that he wanted USC to be his last coaching job, and then if the administration were to allow it, that it would be. But I think that really changed when the pressure started to mount with all these ongoing investigations. And, you know, in particular, I think that that right now USC is going to, you know, have trouble rebuilding with everything that he's left behind. So I think it's it's an unfortunate situation for a lot of the people involved, you know, certainly the players who are left, though quite a few of them have already bolted after this past season.
Adam, if you do the eyeball test, I met O.J. Mayo when he was in eighth grade. He was the youngest camper ever to attend the Nike All-America camp, and he had a lot of people around him then. But if you do the eyeball test and you see all the different basketball powerhouses that were recruiting O.J. Mayo, and then you see, oh my gosh, he winds up at USC, I can tell you this, I raised an eyebrow. Did you?
I certainly, you know, was surprised by that, but at the same time, it made sense because of the marketing element and because O.J. Mayo, if he were, you know, 10 years older maybe and had hit that window where he could have gone straight to the NBA, probably wouldn't have spent any time in college at all. And so looking to do something a little unorthodox, USC was actually a pretty good place. You have to remember that they had just successfully mounted, you know, their marketing campaigns behind guys who win Heisman trophies. And so, you know, you look at three guys in just a few years playing football at USC. You've got Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart, and Reggie Bush. And he looks at a school that's in, you know, the country's second largest media market in a place where, you know, there's a lot of attention given to these stars. It's, you know, he'd be playing down the street in a brand new arena, down the street from Staples Center, which is where there are two NBA teams. A lot of it made sense for a guy trying to position himself to become the next big thing in the NBA. He's already started to do that now that he's there. So it started to make sense to everyone when you look at it and go, huh, well, given the givens, given he really has to spend a year doing something, not likely to go to Europe because that's something that came out afterwards and the players started doing that, it sort of calmed everyone down and said, oh, well, gee, we can understand why he would do it in this situation. And I think that's a major part of the reason why people didn't dig harder, investigate more. It was an unorthodox situation, and the move fit that.
Obviously, the people who were funneling the money, they turned on Tim Floyd, it looks like. What do we know about these people?
Well, it's one person in particular, Lewis Johnson, who is a former reporter with a background that certainly raises probably more eyebrows than O.J. Mayo raised when he went to USC. Johnson, you know, has felony convictions on his record for drugs, and you know, he's apparently writing a book. He's denied it at some point in some interviews, but his lawyers have said that, yes, he's writing a book about this situation. Lewis Johnson is a guy who is part of O.J. Mayo's posse, whether you want to call it a street agent or a handler or what you will. He was part of that group that sort of was around O.J. Mayo, helping him out, and at some point got cut off. And so he had probably invested quite a bit of time and effort, if not something else, in O.J. Mayo's development, and probably felt pretty spurned. So he's a guy who you have to question a lot of the credibility behind what he's done and what he's said since he's come out about all of this. But it's certainly believable for the most part in terms of O.J. Mayo possibly getting you know, improper benefits funneled from an agency that was trying to recruit him for when he went pro through a guy named Rodney Guillory. And I'm trying to keep the names out of this because it can get complicated with just how many players or how many individuals, I should say, were involved. But the bottom line is that these allegations have now come out. There's very little documentation that Tim Floyd physically gave cash to one of these handlers. It's one person's word against everyone else's, and the situation didn't seem realistic. But the fact that Guillory was around that program after he had already gotten USC, you know, at least caused an investigation with one of their players and gotten him in a little bit of trouble regarding extra benefits, USC should have known more. Tim Floyd had apparently been told that this guy wasn't allowed to get free tickets to the game, players' tickets, but he was still allowed in the coaches' offices, hanging around that program and being in their new basketball arena. Again, that probably should have raised more eyebrows. And after the fact, looking back, everyone goes, oh, gee, that wasn't appropriate. So, you know, a lot of shady characters involved, a lot of questionable, you know, motives, but a lot of believable accusations at this point that O.J. Mayo might have received improper benefits.
Last question for you, Adam. USC's under investigation already by the NCAA. Do you think there's any truth to the theory that Mike Garrett said to Tim Floyd, you need to resign because we want to look like we're being proactive with the NCAA and lessen any penalties we may receive?
It certainly wouldn't surprise me. And I think that they were moving towards that already. There are some reports that Floyd's attorney had been on USC's campus just a couple weeks ago, which might have hinted at some sort of negotiation and some sort of buyout. So I certainly do think that USC was starting to push him away. They weren't exactly thrilled with the direction he'd taken the program over the last few years off the court. Again, while they were winning on the court, that was masking a lot of things that were going on off court. And so I think that they were already headed that direction. I don't know if it really came down to this is what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And it certainly didn't play out the way USC expected yesterday when that letter became public. It was sent by Tim Floyd to Mike Garrett, and it was also released to his hometown newspaper. And in it, he one of the funny things is he writes Southern Cal as a reference to USC. And I don't know if a lot of your listeners out there are familiar with different cities on the West Coast, but that's like calling San Francisco Frisco, or maybe like calling Los Angeles Los Ang. It's just not done. It's something that actually is considered a major faux pas in that USC community. And even though it's something that most people would kind of shrug at, anyone editing that, anyone at USC who would have seen that wouldn't have let that go out if that were a mutual decision and being managed the way that they like to manage media and manage public statements. So I certainly think that they pulled the trigger, or he pulled the trigger, before they got to that point. What may have been done in terms of negotiation with any buyout, what may have already been agreed upon, in that sense, we don't know. We may not know because USC is a private university and doesn't have to release those records like a lot of public ones do.
Adam, very interesting story, great insight, and we will have you on again in the future. Thanks for joining us on Sports Business Radio this week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
From the world of college basketball to professional baseball, my guest is Maury Brown. He is the founder of thebizofbaseball.com. Maury's joined us before. Maury, thanks for joining us on Sports Business Radio.
Brian, it's always a pleasure.
So exciting week for you, I'm sure. The Major League Baseball draft took place, and Steven Strasburg, the big pitcher from San Diego State, 103-mile-an-hour fastball and all, was drafted number one by the Washington Nationals. Scott Boras, we all know Scott Boras, represents Strasburg. What are we talking about in terms of a money deal to get this deal done with the Nationals?
Well, Boras is saying somewhere between $25 and $50 million over 6 years. So it would be an extraordinary feat to have that happen. It would certainly be precedent setting. Now, whether we reach that point, I don't know. I think that it'll probably be something over 25, but I don't think we're going to see $50 million by any stretch. But it is going to be a major test of the system, and I think that's something to really focus in on. Is it signable? Is he signable? The Nationals are under incredible pressure to make that happen. And if they don't get him signed, are we going to see some major changes to the CBA when it comes up in 2011?
Now, Mark Pryor got $10.5 million, which I believe is the record signing bonus for a draft pick. So are we looking at probably Strasburg is going to exceed that number? That's what you're saying.
Oh, yes. I think you can probably pretty much guarantee that that's going to happen. Signing bonus is certainly going to be there. It's the length of time, the duration, and whether a contract offer is going to be there. And Boras seems to be pretty much stuck on making sure that he's going to get some kind of long-term deal without playing one, not pitching one inning in the major leagues.
Maury, this is Nathan. To Brian's note about Mark Pryor, pitchers are generally injury-prone. Is this a pretty big risk for teams when they pay that amount of money to get a pitcher? I mean, Mark Pryor, we all know, is a great pitcher, but he's always injured.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the difference between the NFL and the NBA, where we see, there's questions as to why is there such a big deal with baseball paying that kind of money to rookies? We see it in football and basketball all the time. Well, the difference is that those players translate right away, or at least in the NFL. Most of the times you see somebody drafted, they're going to be playing the next season. The NBA, maybe a season or two. In baseball, it's a big crapshoot. And then you throw in with pitchers the injury situation, you could spend a lot of money for a pitcher that could be all that. Strasburg is all that, everything that everybody's talking about. He is certainly, a once-in-a-decade kind of guy, but he could go out and one pitch, it could all be over with. So it's a major risk for any club to sign these kids or any pitcher at this point in time. With the money that's involved, it's all about risk aversion.
Maury, put yourself in Scott Boras' seat for a moment. Who do you compare Strasburg to if you're trying to get as much money as you can from the Nationals, knowing that, like you just said, he's never pitched a day professionally. He's only pitched on the college level.
Well, the comparison that he's making is a good one, and this is a structural thing. He's comparing him to Daisuke Matsuzaka with the idea that Daisuke came over outside of the posting fee for $50 million the Red Sox signed him, had never pitched one inning in the major leagues. And the idea that Boris is saying, and this is a good, you know, a good point for Boris to make. Let's say Strasburg doesn't get signed. He goes over to Japan. He plays for a year, comes back over as a free agent. Would somebody offer him $50 million based upon the potential that he's currently out there? You can make an argument that a team like the Yankees or maybe even the Red Sox would be willing to put that kind of money up to go ahead and get a guy like that. So that's, I think, the point that Boris is making. He's looking at him not so much as a collegiate player, but what would he get on the free agency market?
Nationals have dismal attendance. Interest in baseball in D.C. is not what people hoped it would be. Do you think at the end of the day the Nationals get a deal done with Scott Boras to put Strasburg in a Nationals uniform?
Well, I think they almost have to, Brian. I mean, it is one of those things to where they're under such incredible pressure. Remember, if they don't get signed their first pick this year, they're going to have 2 years in a row they didn't sign Aaron Crow last year. So they're under incredible pressure to make that happen. And look, they need some kind of hope right now. They need something for the fans to rally around and give them some kind of talk, some kind of buzz to basically, you know, look at. You mentioned their attendance has been woeful. There was less than 8,000 people there when Randy Johnson got his 300th win.
Now, that's incredible.
They've been besieged by, they're dealing with another rain delay today. They've been hit with more rain delays or postponements due to rain than I can remember in a long time. But, I mean, it is a bad situation. It's a brand-new ballpark. You know, they're supposed to be, they're in a top-five market. It's supposed to be better than this.
You know, I look at sports in general, and if something didn't work the first time, it's not going to work the second time. Baseball in D.C. didn't work the first time. It's not working the second time. Basketball in Charlotte didn't really work the first time. It's not working very well the second time. I just think it was a mistake for Major League Baseball to go back to D.C., but now they're stuck with this beautiful stadium, and I know that they're not going to be leaving there anytime soon.
Well, you know, one of the things about that, Brian, a lot of it, you know, is contingent upon winning. You know, they don't have, although they have a huge history, they don't have a continual history like we've seen in New York or in Boston or in Philadelphia or certainly in Chicago. You know, if you're going to lose and lose not just a little bit, but lose on a historic level like the Nationals and the Senators prior have done, it really puts a bad mindset for the fan base in play. When that team starts to win, I think that things are going to change. But that's, you know, that's the problem. Jim Bowden put them in a really bad position, you know, not just last year or the year before. It may mess them up for a couple of years due to how the bullpen is currently structured. Really bad shape.
Maury, last question. Was there anyone else of note drafted this week that will command anywhere near the type of dollars that Steven Strasburg will get?
No. Strasburg is a one in, like I said, a decade. It may be more than that. I mean, it may be a generational kind of thing. They're talking about him. Now, of course, we talked about Todd Van Poppel this way, and this is the thing that we get into with pitchers. If you see him pitch, and if anybody out there gets a chance to see any footage of him pitch, he is phenomenal. He's got incredible velocity, but his control is really, really the thing to focus on. He's got a great mix-up of different pitches. He's one of those kids that just doesn't come around every once in a while, you know, in a while. So I don't think we're going to see anybody even near it. Ackley would be the nearest guy for the Mariners, and I don't think we're going to see anything near that.
Maury, thank you for joining us on Sports Business Radio. Appreciate the insight as always.
Hey, no problem, Brian. Have me anytime.
Thank you. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back. This is Brian Berger, host of Sports Business Radio. We live in an age where everything is on the record. What we say anywhere, whether it's in an elevator, in an email, or during a conversation with a reporter, is now being broadcast instantaneously on YouTube, in a blog, or through the mass media. It's easier than ever to spot someone who has been traditionally media trained and is just giving you that same old boring PR speak. I want to help you navigate the tricky media landscape. When I'm not hosting Sports Business Radio, I team with former Nike PR director Lee Weinstein to form Evergreen Media Training. Evergreen Media Training assists individuals and groups by offering unique preparation and training catered to your specific needs. From explaining today's media environment to providing you with post-training monitoring and feedback, we'll guide you every step of the way. With nearly 40 years of combined experience working with some of the biggest names in the sports industry, we'll help you communicate your messages honestly, thoughtfully, and from the heart. For an overview and a list of services, visit evergreenmediatraining.com or email me at brian@sportsbusinessradio.com.
The website is sportsbusinessradio.com.
Orlando Magic center Marcin Gortat finds himself at odds with his endorser Reebok this week after they asked him to wear socks to cover his tattoo on his leg. And his tattoo, Nathan, is of the Jordan brand. Now, Gortat didn't really take kindly to Reebok asking him to cover his tattoo and says they called and said I had to do something about it, but that ain't going to happen. They didn't say anything about it when I signed the contract, so it's not going anywhere. I don't think they're paying me enough to take it off. I like this guy.
I like him too, but he better be careful. I don't know that another company is going to pick up Gortat, you know, and have him endorse anything. So if I were him, I might just go with their request.
Well, but I think all they're doing is giving him shoes. I don't think they're paying him. So, heck, if I'm the Jordan brand, I say, I'll send you some shoes. We're not going to pay you anything, but we like that you stuck up for our brand. We'll send you some shoes and enjoy our shoes. If that's all Reebok's doing, then might as well have his shoes consistent with the tattoo on his leg. But, you know, that's brand loyalty right there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If I were him, I'd want to go with the Jordan brand anyway.
All right, lots of thank yous on our show this week. Adam Rose from the LA Times, Maury Brown from the bizofbaseball.com, our show staff, Nathan Roach, Bobby Courser, Josh Blank, Darren Pack, Ron Barr, James Harris, and Doug Zanger, our sponsors. Moose Tracks Ice Cream. Go to moosetracks.com, click on the store locator. The Warsaw Sports Marketing Center at the University of Oregon, Morton's The Steakhouse, and Evergreen Media Training, a podcast reminder. You can catch our show on demand via podcast every week. Just go to sportsbusinessradio.com and click on the podcast page. You can also find us on Facebook, and we are on Twitter. Go to our blog at sportsbusinessradio.com. Click on the blog page. Look for the links to our Facebook and Twitter pages. I'm Brian Berger. Have a tremendous week. We'll talk to you next weekend right here on Sports Business Radio.
Greg Oden of the Portland Trailblazers supports the Ronald McDonald Houses.
I'm a big fan of the houses. Happy to help them make a difference.
He helps because he believes every hospitalized child should be near their family in tough times.
And everyone can support this home away from home.
When you purchase a McCafe espresso drink or premium roast coffee, McDonald's donates a portion of proceeds to Ronald McDonald House charities in Oregon and Southwest Washington at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
A little change can make a big difference.
Sports Business Radio talks to the people who call the shots in the world of sports.
My guest is Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. Let's go back to the year 2000. The year before you bought the Mavericks, they were 40-42. Fan interest was pretty lukewarm. When you bought this team, what did you see in this team? What was the potential that you saw to get them to where they are today?
Probably none.
Brian Berger goes one-on-one with the biggest names.
My guest is Dr. Miles Brand, the president of the NCAA.
I think the reason why we have a BCS-type system in Division 1A and elsewhere we have playoffs is that the schools in Division 1A feel that the regular season is the most important aspect of football.
Read the Sports Business blog and listen to SBR On Demand at sportsbusinessradio.com.
See, I think that's the big thing.
Sports Business Radio, Saturday. Or online at sportsbusinessradio.com.